schedule your pre-season heating service. A furnace that's not clean can distribute harmful debris around your house, making you more prone to colds and other viruses. The trained professionals from Superior Comfort Incorporated will ensure your furnace is operating safely and efficiently with a complete seasonal tune-up. Their expert technicians will check for dirty or clogged filters that can cause overheating, as well as thermostat malfunctions and ignition control complications that can lead to intermittent or no heat. For the safety of your family, they also do carbon monoxide checks and ensure your system has adequate combustion air and equipment clearances. Preventative maintenance matters. Schedule an appointment with Superior Comfort Incorporated and enjoy peace of mind knowing your heating systems will be ready when you need it the most. Call 401-396-9171, 401-396-9171, or find them online at SuperiorComfortInc.com. Set up a service plan today.
WADK weather.
Mostly cloudy and warm, high 70. Clear tonight, low 55. Partial sunshine tomorrow, high 65. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with areas of late night fog, low 54. For Saturday, morning fog continues, otherwise sunshine and patchy clouds, high 67. Saturday night, becoming cloudy, low 44. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon. We welcome you to the Open Forum, where we focus on you, Newport, Newport County, Aquidneck Island. And we've only been doing it for 65 years. So this is what we call legacy media. And it's Thursday, so we expect to have our conversation with Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee momentarily. Let's start out, though, with this note from the DEM and RIDO. The Department of Health and the Department of Environmental Management recommend that you avoid Lower Melville Pond in Portsmouth, also known as Thurston Gray, because of the blue-green algae, the cyanobacteria. Bad news. The advisory has been in place since August 20th and remains in effect. Now, I thought it had come off in the interim, but we just got this within the last 10 minutes from DEM, actually from DOH. Blue-green algae can produce toxins that can harm humans and animals. So, I mean, stay away, keep your animals away. If you walk your dog in that area, don't let the dog drink from the pond. Don't drink the water. Don't eat fish from the pond. Neither pond will be stocked. Lower Melville and Upper Melville. Upper Melville is Thurston Gray. So both Lower and Upper Melville Pond are bad news now. I see the advisory was for Upper Melville, and this new one is for Lower Melville. Gotcha. So they're not going to stock either pond with trout this fall. All recreation, including fishing, boating, and kayaking, should be avoided. And animals that may ingest pond water are especially at risk from exposure to the algal toxins. So do not allow your pet to drink or swim in the water. Skin contact with the water containing this blue-green algae causes irritation of the skin, nose, eyes, and/or throat. This is bad news. It can make you sick. A whole bunch of symptoms here that I will not go into. But just avoid that area. Avoid Upper and Lower Melville Pond because of the outbreak of blue-green algae. It had been in the upper pond, and now it is about in the lower pond. So that's from RIDO and the DEM. Well, joining us on the line is Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. Hello there, Lieutenant Governor.
How you doing? Sorry, I'm a little bit late. I'm visiting these small businesses today in Pawtucket.
Excellent.
So we just got off our last visit in Pawtucket, so we're freeing up now to talk about, talk to all your listeners about the great things that we're working on in our office.
Terrific. Well, we're always glad to have you. We look forward to chatting with you every Thursday, and we have lots and lots to talk about today. We have your new campaign to raise money for the Rhode Island Military Family Relief Fund. We actually made mention of this yesterday, and I knew you'd have something to say about it today. So let's get into that.
Yeah, I think that it's important that, you know, we cover this because normally around this time of the year, we do what's called an Operation Holiday Cheer program, which is developed with when Lieutenant Governor Charlie Fogarty was in office, and we've continued the tradition of giving out care packages to all the men and women who are in service that are deployed or dispatched out of the state during the holidays, Bruce. So this year we're kind of like changing it up a little bit because we normally would have 300 to 400 volunteers over a two-day period in one spot, putting all these packages together. Sometimes we would do as many as 500 packages. This year, because of the COVID, we're going to do a kind of a streamline, working with the Blue Star Moms to get out, enough packages to cover, the people who are deployed and dispatched right now out of the state, which was a lower number. But we're shifting our efforts into the Military Family Relief Fund. And that fund, for your listeners, is a very important fund. What it does is for people when they're in service, and many people who are deployed and dispatched out of the state, out of the country, they leave their full-time employment. And so the income for their family gets impacted. So this relief fund grants funds to help those families that are left here, raising their family, keeping their households alive, helping them with rent and mortgage and utility payments and a lot of the overhead expenses that they might not be able to cover because, you know, they have their husband or wife that is in service protecting our freedom. So what we're doing this year is we're launching a fund drive in conjunction with our Operation Holiday Cheer to make sure that we restore that fund. Last year alone, $63,000 were distributed to families who needed that help. Because they were serving as well. You know, they weren't serving out of the state, but they were serving because their family members were serving our country.
That's tremendous. It is something that is vitally needed and appreciated. And, you never know how these things are going to present opportunities. I mean, is there another way? You know, you say, gee, we had to kind of pivot this year because of the COVID and so forth. But look at how you enlisted the aid of the Gold Star Moms. That's fantastic.
Yeah, the Blue Star Moms and the Gold Star Moms are always involved with the Operation Holiday Cheer. We have that at the National Guard Center on Airport Road. This year, shifting to Cranston, they got their headquarters there. But yeah, they've already been involved, and they're going to keep the tradition alive even in these unusual times. But that relief fund, we've had 500 National Guards that have been activated to help the state in the
yes.
COVID response.
Yes.
And so when they go active duty, they leave their jobs, they leave their employment. So their full-time revenue gets impacted in a way that this fund compensates for that, Bruce. So people can go to our website. They can go to ltgov.ri.gov/MFRF. This is the first time that we've ever gone virtual, so the individuals and businesses can give a tax-free, tax-deductible donation. And they can make that donation online. They also, again, I'll call our office as they can on any of these issues we're working on, 222-2371, if they want more details or they want it. We were able to take, business donations from Dave's Market. They're a lead sponsor
yes.
this year on this fund. So we're making sure that everybody, R&R Machine, has also given a donation, as well as the Rhode Island Manufacturers gave a sizable donation at the press conference we had yesterday to make sure that this fund gets restored. Our goal is to raise $50,000 between now and Thanksgiving. If we raise more, then 100% of the money goes directly to the families. And then we have an executive board that one of our members of our office serves on, along with some of the military individuals and other individuals that have helped with manage this program over the years on the Family Relief Fund. And then they take anonymous applications so that the families are asking for the help. It's not a public ask. And then they manage the dollars, and then they appropriate the grants into those families that are in need. So that's how it works.
Excellent, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. And you can also donate online. You have unveiled a new online donation portal.
Yeah, that's the first time that we've ever done that. But I think that it's really important to do that. And like you say, we're shifting this year, to a same vein, helping military families, active duty military families. And so they can go to ltgob.ri.gov/MFRF, or they can call our office at 222-2371. And they also just visit our website, because we have it, a link to this on our Lieutenant Governor's website. If they forget that the link, they can just Google Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. It'll bring you right to our website, and they can go right there, and they can kind of get all the information on this, this Rhode Island Military Relief Fund that we're going to raise dollars now through the holidays to help these families that are serving our country.
You can't lose that back.
And one of the things that I've learned as a mayor, and also now as Lieutenant Governor, working so closely with not only our veterans but our active duty, is that the families serve, and they're impacted just as much as those who serve, and sometimes the Gold Star families have given up loved ones in the service of the country. Right now we're focused on these active duty families, and we want to make sure that they know that the state supports their service as well.
Well, that's it. And, it was an excellent point that you brought up, Lieutenant Governor, about how there has been such a deployment here in the state to really fight this battle against the COVID. I mean, we had a news story this morning about how testing is ramped way, way up, and it was all National Guard people who were manning the testing facility. And so that takes personnel, and that really is the battle front these days, and we don't stop to think about it. So good on you for really bringing this to our attention and raising the awareness that so many of our neighbors in the National Guard are literally out protecting us in the state today.
Yeah, and the piece of information that I think is really important, as they serve us, as you just said, in the COVID, or in outside the country in Afghanistan, right, or Iraq over the recent years, or down in Cuba, or actually stationed outside of our state, their family revenue income is impacted, right? Because
right.
When they serve and they're not working full time, they're not getting full time pay. And so those families, that's why these families need our help. They need our assistance to cover the rent, to cover some of their food costs, to cover some of their utility costs, to cover their car payments. All those things that they're raising their families. Many of them have children that, they're keeping them, fed and in school and under in a home that is, warm during the holidays, right? So it costs money. And when their revenue is impacted, because they're serving our country, this is a way that Rhode Islanders can step up and really, answer the call there to make sure that the families are taking care of those who need it.
It's so, so right. We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. It is Thursday. And now we have more updates to the Restore RI Small Business Grant Program. We have an updated application. We had Matt Sheaf from Commerce RI on this morning talking about another aspect of this. But I'll tell you, Dan, he was saying what you and I have been talking about for these weeks that we've had John, that there's more money available and the time is really running out to take advantage of it. What do you have today?
Yeah, so it has been slow. It's been a drip. I think that we've been overcautious in the way that we're into the third version of the application, and we were in South Kingstown yesterday, Pawtucket, Cumberland today, talking to these businesses. Many of the businesses don't know that the grant program is available. Many of the businesses thought that it was too restrictive when it came out, and they don't know that they can have as many as 50 employees. Now they can be sole proprietors. Now they all can qualify if they've been negatively impacted by 1 month of revenue that's down 30%, compared to a month in 2019. So there's many ways. The other piece of this thing, which we were advocating for, is that because they upped it from 15,000 to 30,000 this week, and they opened up the portals on Tuesday for that, now businesses, the 1,600 businesses that worked their way through the first two, variations of the application, they actually now are eligible. So those businesses can double up. We visited a business in down in South Kingstown yesterday, Bruce. They have a diner in Narragansett. They got one in South Kingstown. They were able to get about $8,000 on the original grant for each application of close to $25,000. They qualify for another $25,000. We visited a business in South Kingstown that got $10,500 in the original grants, and they immediately, when they were on our call on Tuesdays at noon time, and they heard that they could reapply, they've reapplied, very short application. So those businesses who have qualified for money, they can go on. This business owner told us it took them 20 minutes to fill out the application. They're going to qualify for another $10,000. So, yes, it's got a lot more flexible. I think that we are still going to be working on getting the money out by visiting these communities and working with Commerce and a lot of the business associations, the chambers, to get the money out. But we'll ask for another $75 million. We're working with the Leagues and Cities and Towns right now, the president of Leagues and Cities and Towns, who's Mayor Charlie Lombardi. And we're hoping to have an announcement where they stand with me in the next week or so and say, get us another $75 million. Let's get it to the local municipal leaders so they can distribute the money the same as Commerce is, because we are up against that deadline. So yeah, so it's so we're encouraging every small business to apply. Some of the businesses said, I'm doing okay, I'm keeping my head above water. I don't think I should apply. No, we're saying apply. We need that money out the door. If we don't use it, we lose it, Bruce.
That's it. That is exactly it. So, yeah, I mean, I heard from some businesses who were a little disappointed that they didn't receive as much money as they thought they should have gotten. Well, now go and reapply.
Reapply it. It's with the form that's there. They've made it very, very easy. They can transfer the information that you had from the previous application. You need to update that. You can put your rent in. You can put rent in for November. If you're paying your rent for December on December 1st, you can put December's rent in. It'll accumulate very fast. And those companies who didn't get as much as they would have liked, they can go back in. And on a very short time frame, they can get an equivalent amount that they got initially. And we're working to actually let's get a third round of strategies in so that those businesses even get more money. They need it, Bruce. The businesses I'm visiting, they need the funds to stay alive. And we know that we're entering into the winter season, and some of these businesses are even going to, some of it's downtime for them, especially in the areas down in Newport, right? Many of those areas are impacted by the tourism. And when the tourism's not there, they're going to struggle to a degree that they haven't in the past. So
sure.
Get the applications in.
And it may put you as a business in a position to be able to help other businesses. Let's say that you have the type of a business that might be able to benefit other businesses by what you do, either subcontracting to those businesses or perhaps teaming up with them in some way. As we found, and you mentioned Newport, as Newport found this summer, there is a ready market of people who are not a bunch of hours away, who are right in the backyard, who might be persuaded to come back and visit some more this fall or this winter or this holiday season. So perhaps it's a way to reach those people who discovered Newport for the first time and maybe would have a chance to rediscover again. So maybe it's a way to do some type of electronic marketing, an email program. Maybe it's some other type of a thing. Pivoting, adapting, that's what it's all about. And this money is there for you. It's just a question of being able to apply your knowledge and your creativity to be able to pivot and get yourself through this.
And there's nothing like going out face to face with these businesses like we are right now.
Yes.
And we're actually providing them with masks. We had somebody donate 40,000 masks to our office to get out to the small businesses that I'm visiting. We gave out over 1,000 masks yesterday when we were in South Kingstown. We're in Pawtucket and Cumberland today. We're going to be in Bristol tomorrow. So if your listeners out there would like us to visit some of the businesses in that community, we're about halfway through. I think we got another 15 communities to get to before we get to 39. But these businesses, just like you said, one of the businesses we visited as a yoga studio, and they're struggling because of the the social distancing that they have to comply with. I think it's time that we really rethink a lot of these, get a little more flexible where we can. But what they did is they expanded their footprint of the yoga studio by knocking down a wall, and they actually hired in somebody to do that work. So they used some of the money to actually employ somebody. So this money circulates, and that's why it's so important that every small business apply for this. If you've got 50 and under employees, if you're a sole proprietor, if you've been impacted, in any 1 month over the last year compared to the previous year, you qualify, and our office stands ready to help out, as do the municipal leaders and the local business associations and the chambers, Bruce.
Excellent. Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, give your phone number and your website again, please.
Yeah, 222-2371. If you want to go directly to us, we set up a special Gmail account at ltgov20@gmail.com. And so you go directly there to any question. And then, of course, you have you can go to the relief fund to make a donation so that we can hit that $50,000 number for these families, ltgov.ri.gov/MFRF. Please go there and donate.
Excellent. All right, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, we will see you next Thursday. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Okay, Bruce, thank you so much for sharing this information, this valuable information, throughout your community and in particular the small business community. Let's support our small businesses out there.
It is our pleasure, believe me, an honor. Thank you so very, very much, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, live every Thursday, the LG Live here on WADK in the open forum, and we'll be right back.
This is Jean Napolitano, and I'm asking you to vote for Jim Dring for the Newport School Committee. Jim is the father of three school-age daughters, a homeowner, and a taxpayer. Jim was past chair of Newport Planning Board and current chair of My Antinomy Park Commission. We see many signs that say, drive like your kids live here. I ask you to vote like your kids live here. Vote Jim Dring, Newport School Committee.
This message paid for by Jim Dring for Newport School Committee.
The Bodie Spa is a boutique day spa nestled in the heart of historic Newport, Rhode Island, with a focus on whole body health and wellness. We offer a full menu of traditional spa services such as massage, aesthetics, and body treatment. What makes us unique is the water journey, a restorative experience of taking the waters in a Roman-style bath circuit. Our guests improve their entire circulatory system by guiding the body through scientifically proven hydrotherapy stations. Stimulate your senses while you heat up, cool down, relax, repeat. Visit thebodiespa.com for more information.
Hi, Tony Lamondi here at Senior's Choice Medicare Specialist. It's Medicare open enrollment, and you're probably getting a lot of information thrown your way. It could be very confusing and overwhelming. It's time to call Senior's Choice Medicare Specialist at 401-474-8363 for a free Medicare plan review. We are contracted with all the major carriers in the state of Rhode Island and are very familiar with all the plans. So give us a call here at Senior's Choice Medicare Specialist, 401-474-8363 for a free Medicare plan review.
Senior's Choice is not affiliated or endorsed by the Centers for Medicaid or Medicare.
Hello, I'm Kevin Michaud, candidate for Newport City Council at Large. As someone who grew up in Newport, I have seen firsthand the success and opportunity this city can provide for all. But recently, the voice of the average resident has fallen on deaf ears. It is time that our voice is heard. We need to protect public access to the waterfront, move forward with the North End Project, improve public education, and ensure that the intimacy and charm of Newport continues for future generations. That is why, on November 3rd, vote Kevin Michaud for Council at Large. This message was paid for by friends of Kevin Michaud.
1540 WADK is online at WADK.com. Now giving you the information you need day and night at WADK.com.
We are still hanging in for today's corona numbers, and we expect them at any time. Hey, they could be any time before 7 o'clock tonight if the things go the way that they did yesterday. But yesterday, the governor spent a lot of time talking about Thanksgiving and how different things are going to be this year. We talked about Halloween and how things are going to be different for that this year. And so let's spend a little time talking about that with our next guest, Dr. Kalila Gates, pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Dr. Gates, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Great, great pleasure. So what the governor said yesterday was that we're going to have to really treat Thanksgiving differently because the the virus is invited to Thanksgiving and is going to show up whether or not it's invited. So we're going to have to really keep our distance. We're going to have to sort of treat people that perhaps we are close to or at least related to a little differently and maybe keep them apart. We're not going to be able to travel so far this year, and we need to take precautions even if we're going to host a Thanksgiving dinner at our home. Now, we've got to keep crowd sizes down and things like that. But let's say that you're having, let's say that you're hosting the dinner and you can have 15 people or 10 people or 12 people or 20 people or whatever it is. That one of the things she suggested, Dr. Kalila Gates, was to actually go into a bit of a quarantine yourself 2 weeks before Thanksgiving and get yourself tested. So you and I had talked a little bit off stage, and you had asked what our governor had to say. And that's really the gist of some of the things she had to say. So it's great to talk to you. Tell us how you're preparing strategies in the medical professional world for the holiday season and what we can do.
Absolutely. So I think that your governor kind of hit it in the right place. It just needs to be different. It doesn't have to be canceled. It just needs to be different. And there are many ways to make that different, right? So some people may decide that they don't want to take the risk of having everybody over for the holiday, and they'll just keep with their nuclear family. Others are like, I'm over COVID. I'm tired of this. I need some social interaction with, the rest of my family members. We're going to gather. And so if that is the decision that is made, then as your governor pointed out, that perhaps maybe you do everyone who's going to be in the home quarantine 2 weeks before so that you can, again, decrease the risk of being exposed to the virus before everyone comes together.
There you go.
So it's all about figuring out ways to decrease the risk, not make it zero, but decreasing the risk.
Well, that's it. In terms of, and then she also mentioned that it's a good idea to get a test before and after, which kind of makes some sense. This way you know where you stand, right?
So the test is a little bit trickier. So just because you're negative at one point in time doesn't mean a whole lot, because we know a lot of what makes a test negative. So I think a negative test gives you a false sense of security. Hmm. But again, it's all individual decisions. And if that's one of the things you want to do, then I think people need to make that decision. But it all gets to the heart of minimizing the risk, minimizing exposure, so that we can keep each other and those of us who are more vulnerable safe during these holiday times.
That's an excellent point. So that's a great point. All right. So there's the gathering. You actually have a few thoughts on a few other things as well. Holiday shopping. It's going to look different this year. I mean, Macy's just announced they're not going to have Santa Claus in their store in New York. So if there are those who want to physically shop, what should we be doing?
So I think we approach the holiday season and the rest of this pandemic with what we know works and a few alterations. So if you're going to go out to the stores, let's make sure we're masked. Let's make sure we're maintaining social distance. Let's make sure we have a pocket or a bottle of hand sanitizer in our bag or our pocket, and we're intermittently using that because we're touching stuff as we're going through the shopping centers. Hopefully the stores and the shopping centers that are going to be open will put things in place to minimize the amount of people in the store at one time, to do things that will control the flow of traffic within the stores. For instance, here in Chicago, our stores at one point in a kind of surge, you could go down one aisle one way and had to come up the other way. That was, again, just trying to minimize interactions within the store. So there are many things that we can do to, again, decrease the risk. It can't be zero unless you stay home for everything, but let's just do the things we know can decrease the risk.
There you go. Dr. Kalila Gates is a pulmonary and critical care specialist. I am pronouncing every guest's name about 12 different times today. Dr. Gates, can you do I have you right here, Kalila or Kalila?
It's Kalila.
I'm so glad that you're with us today. And Dr. Gates is a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Now, your interests include not only pulmonary infections, COPD, things like that, and sepsis, but you've also done some research in pulmonary host defense and immune mechanisms. So do you have any insight as to how certain people are able to fight this COVID? I mean, are some people able to battle it better than others?
So I think we're still trying to figure that out. As you know, everyone's immune system is different. And we're trying to tease out what makes one person have a very mild course and the other person have such a significant course that they're hospitalized or in ICU on a ventilator. What we do know is that COVID, the virus, has this huge inflammatory response. And that's what we're seeing, is the side effects of the huge inflammatory response. And the difference is who turns it off quickly and who has an inflammatory response that's so robust that it causes significant organ impairment. And that's what we're still trying to sort out.
Yeah.
That's kind of the mainstay of the therapy right now. Steroids have been shown to impact mortality. And the idea behind the steroids is to reduce and, you know, decrease that inflammatory response. So we still have a lot to learn about this.
Well, there you go. And I mean, it gets a little scary to me when I hear the S word. It bothers me that might be something that might have to be brought to bear here. And, but I mean, that's just me, but it's interesting. And as you point out, there are different people who are able to battle this thing. I mean, my son goes to a small liberal arts college in Vermont, and they have been, like a lot of colleges, they have been virtually COVID free. Now they just had 6 positive cases within the last day or so. Now they're all asymptomatic. So, I mean, it's possible, as you point out, they could go through this thing and not really be sick.
100%. Everybody's immune system responds a little bit differently. What we know is the younger we are, the more intact our immune system is, the less other medical problems we have. The risk of, you know, having a significant effect is decreased significantly. But we've all heard the stories of the 20-year-old who didn't have such an asymptomatic course. And
yes.
So we really can't pinpoint right now who's going to be asymptomatic and who's going to end up in the ICU or worse. And so we're still trying to sort things out. There's so many studies really diving in, trying to look at this from a clinical standpoint. And I'm sure there'll be some kind of genetic assessment as well down the line.
Makes sense. How do you feel about a vaccine?
I am feeling hopeful. I don't think that we'll have a vaccine before the holidays. I do think we will eventually have a vaccine, hopefully early 2021. And I feel as long as we have a vaccine that has been proven to work and is safe, then we should be all vaccinated for COVID.
Everybody should get the vaccine.
What
if it turns out that there's more than one? I mean, I'm hearing today, and it's all driven by the money, the couple of big pharmaceutical companies, they say, oh, it's either going to be Pfizer or, the heck's the other one, Moderna. Is it possible that there might be more than one? What happens then?
I think that the only way that we have a vaccine, whether it's two, oftentimes there are two flu vaccines, right? There's
well,
a low
true.
Dose and then there's a higher dose for people over 65. So that nuance is not as uncommon as we think. But as long as they both or however many have been proven to be effective and safe, it doesn't matter. So the goal is to keep people safe with minimal impact. And if they both do it, then so be it.
All right. Speaking of flu shots, how do you feel about flu shots?
Please, please, please get your flu shot. If you've never had one before, this year is the year to get it. Let's start off or end on a good note with the flu vaccine.
Okay. I'm afraid I'm going to get the flu, though, Dr. Gates.
You're not going to get the flu from the flu vaccine. It is an inactivated virus, so there's no way to actually get the flu. Now, some people do have a mild systemic response. So the whole idea behind vaccines is to kind of prime the immune system. And so in that, you can have a little bit of a response, or you have a little bit of fever, might not feel great, but you're not going to get the flu from the vaccine.
Excellent. Will you be my doctor?
Absolutely, 100%. I'm accepting patients, but all I'm right. in Chicago, my friend.
Well, the technicalities, right? I'm so glad to talk to you. Thanks very much. Where can we go for more information?
Thank you. You can go to nm.org/radio for additional
information. Excellent. So good to talk to you, Dr. Kalila Gates, Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. And thanks very much for being with us today, and all the best to you. Thanks.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Take good care. And still no corona numbers from the state of Rhode Island. Don't know what the deal is these days. We'll keep track of it and stay on it, and we'll be right back.
WADK weather.
Mostly cloudy and warm, high 70. Clear tonight, low 55. Partial sunshine tomorrow, high 65. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with areas of late night fog, low 54. For Saturday, morning fog continues, otherwise sunshine and patchy clouds, high 67. Saturday night, becoming cloudy, low 44. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540. WADK.
Celebrate fall at Island Wine and Spirits, located in historic downtown Newport with a large variety of wine, beer, and spirits, including local offerings. Shop their Autumn Fest sale now through November 1st in person with local delivery, or order ahead with curbside pickup when you visit their website, islandwineri.com. Don't forget to join the Cheers Rewards program for extra savings on all your purchases. Conveniently located at 289 Broadway in Newport, Island Wine and Spirits hopes to see you soon.
This is Lynn Underwood Segley, the current Second Ward Counselor running at large to represent the entire city. I believe this election is about voting for leadership that is fair and independent. We need counselors who work together to bring life-changing results to all of you. I work with organizations such as the Newport Partnership for Families, a network of institutions that partner to strengthen families and improve quality of life. I work with the Edward King House Senior Center to enrich the lives of our seniors. This election really matters. I am asking for your vote. Thank you.
Paid by Segley for Council.
This Saturday and every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, WADK, WADK.com, and Corrigan Financial present Classic High School Football as we bring you some of our game broadcasts from the last 20 years. And this Saturday, we go back just 1 year when Rogers hosted Lincoln on October 25th of 2019. This is Bob Angel. Joining me for the play-by-play, Jim Ascoli. Classic High School Football, Saturdays at 1, here on WADK and WADK.com. And brought to you by O'Brien's Pub, Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, A1 Roofing and Construction, Midtown Oyster Bar and the Surf Club, by Clements Marketplace, Newport Propane, West Main Pizza of Portsmouth, and by Corrigan Financial.
You absolutely love your new vehicle, but you would also love lower monthly payments. Call People's Credit Union or go online to check out their great low rates. People's Credit Union takes the hassle out of auto loan refinancing by making it so easy. Just visit peoplescu.com and apply for a loan today. People's Credit Union will help you make the most of your hard-earned money. Go to peoplescu.com today.
Here's some good news from your Newport Public Library. The library is open Tuesday through Saturday. All patrons must wear a mask, limited access, but we're happy to retrieve any item in the collection. For more information, visit newportlibraryri.org.
This segment is sponsored by the Online Review of Rhode Island History, the state's leading history blog at smallstatebighistory.com. Each week, we release a new article about our state's fabulous history. That's smallstatebighistory.com.
Take WADK to work for the talk of the town with Bruce Newberry. Bruce talks with local newsmakers, local celebrities, and you. Weekday mornings from 9 to noon, WADK.
Bruce Newberry.
Hey, tomorrow on that there Talk of the Town show, Dr. Megan Ranney from Brown University and CNN. She is one of the nation's authorities on COVID. She has developed an app along with Dr. Liz Goldberg from Brown University, and we will have Dr. Ranney with us live at 11 o'clock tomorrow. No corona numbers as yet. Still hanging on. Do I need to wear a mask if I'm 6 feet away from others? Health experts recommend wearing masks in public and keeping your distance from others in most cases. But whether you should do both could depend on the situation. An infectious disease expert at George Mason University, Saskia Popescu, says there's an invisible force field at 6 feet. No, she says there's no invisible force field at 6 feet. Just wanted to see if you're paying attention. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, says spread of the virus beyond 6 feet is uncommon, but more likely in poorly ventilated spaces. You don't like that answer? How about this one? Some health experts say the virus can spread more easily than the CDC says. Ah, that's the answer I want. It's everywhere. We're all going to get it. It's going to take over. We're going to just be doomed. It's going to be like a Robin Cook movie. Feel better now? I can do the hysteria thing. Now, these health experts that are doing the dire thing are not identified, you notice. And you know what? It's probably better that way, because as we talked about a little bit earlier, these so-called organizations, I guess they are organizations, not so-called, but the so-called credible organizations, right? The ones with the real knowledge, you know, places like Stop COVID Now, or what's the other one? The one that Dr. Alexander Scott stomped all over yesterday. That the blogger brought up. I want to make sure I get it right. It's called, a lot of notes yesterday, COVID Exit Strategy. It's about as useful in terms of medical information as TikTok. I mean, why don't you go to some place with a lot of medical credibility like Candy Crush? They have about the same amount of cred. The reason this stuff is so confusing is people want clear answers and there's not a straightforward answer, says Lisa Lee, a public health expert at Virginia Tech. The longer you're in a situation with potential for exposure to virus, the greater your risk of infection. So the rule of thumb has been closer than 6 feet with no mask for more than 15 minutes. That's what you have to be concerned with. Not that some fleeting glimpse of someone who brushes by you with no mask, or if you're in someone's company and you're across the room or across the table for 30 seconds, that you're going to end up in the ICU. It doesn't work that way. This is not that powerful and omnipotent a virus, or we would all be dead now. We'll be right back.
This is former Newport Mayor Richard Sardella. I want to talk to you about Newport's future and why I am voting for Jean Marie Napolitano on November 3rd. I want someone who is experienced and dedicated to take on the tough issues. I want someone who doesn't stop at the borders and is willing to go to the State House and lobby for Newport. I want someone who is a staunch supporter of education and is an advocate for new schools. That someone is Jean Marie Napolitano. Please join me and re-elect Jean Marie Napolitano on November 3rd.
Paid by the committee to elect Jean Napolitano. For quality replacement windows and doors, along with personalized guidance and service, contact Humphreys Building Supply, your Marvin replacement dealer. Our team will guide you through the entire replacement process by selecting designs and options that reflect your style. Replacement windows and doors from Marvin can improve the comfort, functionality, and energy efficiency of your home. Visit Humphreys Building Supply for Marvin replacement windows in Tiverton at the Marvin Design Gallery in Middletown or online at buildwiththeh.com.
Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, selling Newport County homes since 1925. This full-service agency, locally owned by Paul Lees and Chris West, is an invaluable resource for residential sales, rentals, appraisals, and auctions, offering a wealth of local knowledge and worldwide exposure for your property. Over 30 full-time agents cover all of Rhode Island. Check their bios on gustavwhite.com. Don't just put a sign in front of your house, put your house in front of the world. Through Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, 37 Bellevue Avenue, Newport. Phone 849-3000 or visit gustavwhite.com.
What's up? This is Teddy Horan, host of The Big Ticket on WADK. Newport's home to me and has been for my whole life. That's why it's very important to me to support our local economy. This pandemic has hit us all hard, and Newport is full of phenomenal locally owned businesses that need our help. So as Newport's busy season comes to an end, it's up to us to support our fellow locals during this challenging time. Go grab a drink at some of Newport's awesome locally owned bars and restaurants, or check off some boxes on your Christmas list at any of Theme Street's many locally owned shops. While COVID-19 has had a negative effect on all of these businesses, I know Newport will rally from this and thrive in the end. Every little bit helps, so let's make sure to shop local this season and support these businesses so we can continue to enjoy them for years to come.
Hello Newport, Charlie Holder here. I am encouraging everyone to get out and vote on November 3rd. I am running to represent the 2nd Ward on the Newport City Council. There are many important issues we are facing this election, mainly the school bond, which I fully support. As a councilman, I will work with all members of our community, regardless of economic and demographic standing. Newport needs leaders that will work together and that the citizens can relate to and trust. I am that person. A vote for me on November 3rd is a vote for Newport's future. And remember, be bolder, vote Holder.
Paid by the committee for Charlie Holder.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK. It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028. 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
Ooh. Corona numbers are out. 398, 400 basically. So that is growing exponentially. However, 14,000, almost 15,000 tests, probably 15,000. The number exactly here from the Department of Health. And again, this is daily number of negative tests. Daily total tests completed. Daily total tests completed, 14,916. Daily negatives, 14,475. New people who tested positive, 398. All the positives yesterday, 441. So it's kind of the same. Positivity rate's 2.7, so it's actually flat from yesterday. It's 2.66, actually. Yesterday it was 2.6. Day before that it was 2.9, but we had so many fewer tests. Now, when we were back there in this kind of number, see, you hear that number and you tense up, as I did. It's like, oh, crap, we're back in March. But when we were testing 398 people in April and May, there were 1,000 tests going on. I mean, literally, I'll go back and look for you. In fact, I don't think I have to. Can I get that from trends? Yeah, here we go. Daily number of positive tests back in in the spring. Okay, let's break it down here. New people who tested positive, 401 on April 10th. There were 2,300 tests that day. So that was a huge rate. 400 people of 14,000 tested. It's remained the same. We are not having a huge spike. It's a spike, but it's not a huge spike. Here's the issue, and this is going to be a little unpleasant. The issue is who's spreading it. It's not who's getting it, it's who's spreading it. And who is spreading it are people like this. And I'm going to give you an extreme example, and you're not going to like it, and you're going to really not think well of what I'm about to tell you. They found a young boy dead this morning in Fall River. Teenage boy. I mean, literally, no argument about teenage, like 14, 15 years old. And they found two adults that were caring for this boy. I don't know whether they were parents. One was a parent, not sure. And what they found was that these two grown-up people, 30s, 40s, used some kind of drugs every day. So they were impaired every single day. So they weren't really taking care of this child. They weren't taking care of anything other than getting themselves stoned on their butts. Right? It's an extreme example of how the COVID is getting spread. Governor Raimondo yesterday said, there is no spread child to child. There is no widespread, really none to speak of at all, in schools between students. There is no spread from child to parent. But the spread is parent to child. Why? Because parents are going to bars. Their judgment is getting impaired because of alcohol. Fall River and state police are investigating the death of a 14-year-old special needs boy after receiving a 911 call Wednesday morning at his home. Investigators found evidence of daily narcotics abuse by adults John Almond, age 33, and girlfriend Jocelyn Marie Coleman. That's what's spreading this. Because on some level, that is going on 400 times. You're at a bar, judgment's not there, or you don't believe in this, which is kind of the same thing. And you're bringing it home. Or you're spreading it to somebody else. That's what's spreading this. So it's not who's getting it, it's how is it being spread. And Dr. Alexander Scott is doing yeoman's work, I will say, trying to track this down. And she's saying the exact truth. People are not admitting. People are not following up on contact tracing. They're hanging up. They're not answering phones. They're not giving names. Boston University students must show badge to show COVID tests are up to date. So you're all going to complain when this happens. You're all going to complain when we go to a red, yellow, and green color code system. I mean, you either believe in this or you don't. So there we are. We have to deal with it. It is inviting itself in everywhere, and we can't do anything about it other than keep ourselves free of it. Do your best. See you tomorrow.